All right. Well, thank you very much, Pastor. It's a joy to be here. Glad to get here. And I just right off the bat want to thank you for your gracious gift that the church sent to me when my wife went to be at the Lord. I appreciate that. You didn't know me from Adam. What a generous, I was literally shocked, because I don't think well, there may be a couple other churches, but they knew me, and you didn't know me from Adam. And so it shows the heart that you have for God's servants. And so I wanted to thank you right off the bat for that. That's been a great blessing. I am not a great man, that's for sure, but I had a great wife. And she was a great wife. And so you are getting the leftovers today. I'm sorry about that. But, I'm sorry that she couldn't be here because she was really the strength of my ministry, and it's not what it was, and it probably never will be what it was. But we have a great God, amen, and He can take little people and use them just as much as He can use anybody. So it's a joy to be here. Well, let's take our Bible, if you will, open with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. In your Bible, Mark's Gospel, and chapter number 10. I love the book of Mark. I love the name Mark. We named our first child Mark. And so I really do love the book of Mark. It's a book of action. And if you know me, I've always been a person of action. When I was at home, I'd sit down at the table to eat, and I'd have one foot out from underneath the table. Because I wanted to get out and get going, it was hard to slow me down. And my mom would say, "Where are you going, Gary? Where are you going?" And put your foot under the table. And I even did that when my wife was around. And I'm an active guy. Maybe too active. Maybe I should have slowed down a little bit for her sake. But she was always willing and never complained about it. But it's a great book, the book of Mark. So take your Bible there. I hope you're already there. Mark chapter 10, did I tell you the chapter? I don't know if I did or not. You get old, you forget things, right? So Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start reading, with verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17 in your Bible. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might have eternal life, that I may have inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? For there's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Master, all these I've kept, I've observed from my youth.' And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions." All right, let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. Lord, what a wonderful book it is. And it shows us, it shows our nature, it shows human beings. And Lord, it shows you, shows your nature, shows what you want to do. And Lord, there's sometimes a great conflict between the two. And Father, I pray that you would just help us today to surrender to you. And to want what you have for us and what you want us to do. And so, Lord, we know that that's a secret to joy and peace and life and everything, success and everything is all around that. So, Lord, bless, I pray, this time together in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, here we find in the Bible a man who came running and kneeling to Jesus, and he's the only person ever did this, that came running and kneeling to Jesus, but who went away worse than when he came. The only person in the Bible this is true of in Jesus' history. He's the only one that came running and kneeling, but he went away worse than when he came. You know why? Because he, the Bible says, was You know, a person that went away sad and grieved and very sorrowful. That's why he went away worse than when he came. He went away sad. Doesn't say that he came that way, but he went away that way. Sad, grieved, very sorrowful, you see. Because his soul was touched by Jesus, and yet he wouldn't listen to his soul, wouldn't respond to his soul's crying out, because he comes running and kneeling, and his soul's crying out. But he is rebellious. He doesn't want to do what Jesus wants him to do, you know? And so he goes away sad. And he disappointed Jesus. And we'll see why he disappointed Jesus. Are you going to disappoint Jesus this morning? You know, it's good that you come. I appreciate that. But will you go away disappointing Jesus, you know? I mean, you can go away disappointing me. I'm nobody, you know? You can go away disappointing your pastor. He's somebody, but... You know, I tell you what, you go away disappointing Jesus, and boy, you've really made the biggest wrong choice you can ever make in your life. Disappoint Jesus Christ, you know? And so I hope you won't go away that way. Now, I want you to notice three things about this man. Three things about this man. He's a picture of human nature. He's a picture of human beings, and I want you to know three things about him. First of all, you know, he came the right way. He came running and kneeling, you know. That's a good way to come to Jesus, running, hastily coming to him. I mean, eagerly coming to him. Did you come to church eager? Huh? Did you come that way? Eager, oh boy, I just can't wait to get to church. I just can't wait to sing those great songs, you know. What a blessing it'd be if people would come to church eager. You know, I hope you'll come to the meetings this week eager, saying, boy, Lord, I need something from you. Oh, Lord, I want to see you do something. You know, I'd like to see some miracles. You know, we get to a place where we're just used to nothing happening. You know, and you know why nothing happens? Because that's the way we come. We come with no eagerness to have something happen, say. So I hope you'll come with some eagerness, running. You know, you'll get here early. You won't come toddling in. But, you know, if you got to come toddling in 5 minutes late, that's okay. I'd rather better late than never, amen. But come eager, you know. You know, shake hands with people, eager, be friendly, be eager, you know. This man came, he came eagerly. Boy, that's very rare, you know. People come to church, sometimes they come because they have to, young people sometimes. Oh, mom and dad, I got to go, you know, I don't want to, but mom and dad made me go. Praise God for a mom and dad like that, you know. Hope you got a mom and dad like that, make you go. You know, there are times I didn't want to go to church, you know. But my mom made me go, and I thank God for that. I've never... I look back and say, oh, what a terrible thing. I'm so glad that she did make me go. Why this fellow come eager? And he came the right way. He came eagerly. He came kneeling. He came submissive. He came kneeling. He was submissive. Okay, Lord, I'm here to hear from you. Speak to my heart. Do you come that way to church? Lord, I'm here. Show me some, Lord. Show me something that I need. Show me something needs to change in my life. You know? And so that's a wonderful way to go to church. You know? Eager. Running and kneeling, submissive, you know. I pray you'll be submissive to the Lord today. But why was he running and kneeling to the Lord Jesus Christ? He was burdened. You know, have you ever been burdened in your life? You know, do you have burdens? You know, boy, I tell you what, I'll tell you the one who can lift the burden. His name is Jesus. He knows how to lift burdens. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. I love that song, right? You know, and he was burdened. That's why he came running and kneeling. I don't know, you know, I don't know you. I do know you got needs, you know, because all of us do. And I know you got some burdens, you know. I don't know what they are. Wayward boy, wayward son, you know, maybe health needs. You're burdened down with financial burdens. I don't know what the burdens are in your life, but Jesus knows them. And he liked to lift those burdens, you know. That's why he allowed you to come. That's why you... You know, we're able to wake up this morning and the Lord kept your heart beating when you weren't even thinking about it last night. And he kept your heart beating, kept you breathing. Why? He knows your burdens, and he allowed you to come to church this morning so you can have that burden lifted, all right? So I hope you'll go away with the burden lifted. Oh, it's so good to have the burdens off your shoulders, you know, and no longer stooped under the burdens of life, all right? So under the burdens that you're under. So he was burdened. Now, what was he burdened about? He was burdened because he knew that he wasn't right with God. He knew that. Boy, a lot of people don't know that, but he knew it. He knew that he wasn't right with God. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people are burdened. They're not right with God. That's why you're burdened this morning. Probably is because you're not right with God. That's one of the main reasons why people are burdened. They're not right with God. But he came burdened because he didn't know he had eternal life. He didn't know that. He didn't know if he was going to die or where he'd go. He didn't know he had eternal life. And, you know, he was burdened. Maybe someone died in his family. You know, sometimes death causes, like, boy, you know, you look at that person in the casket and say, boy, that's going to be me in a few years. You know, where am I going to be? Where am I going to, what's going to happen to me? You know, I'll tell you what, he was burdened because he knew he didn't have eternal life. He had not absolute no certainty in his heart. If he was to die, he'd go to heaven and not to hell. He didn't know he had eternal life. That's what, you know, eternal life gives you heaven as your home. And, you know, so he's burdened because he doesn't know he has eternal life. Do you know that? Do you know 100% for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Oh, I'll tell you something, you ought to know that because, boy, I'll tell you what, we don't know. We know we're going to die, but we don't know when, and I don't want to be morbid, but, you know, I tell you what, it's a fact of life. You're going to die, and you ought to be burdened about where you're going to go when you die. So you ought to be burdened about that, and you can have that burden lifted this morning. You can have that burden lifted this morning. So he is burdened because he didn't know he had eternal life, and thirdly, he was burdened because he wasn't satisfied in life. He wasn't satisfied. Now, this guy had possessions. He was rich, but, you know, it didn't satisfy, you know. Riches never satisfy. One time someone asked Rockefeller, one of the richest men in all the world, said, how much money's enough, Mr. Rockefeller? Mr. Rockefeller said, $1 more. Why? Because all that money that he had didn't satisfy. You know, I kind of feel sorry for that lady who won all that millions of dollars in the, you know, recent, deal that they have, you know, these, you buy these tickets, you know. And I feel sorry for her because, you know, it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to satisfy. You know, he had riches. He had religion. He was a very religious guy. I mean, he talks about keeping the commandments. So, you know, he was a very religious guy, but religion doesn't satisfy either. I had religion for 16 years of my life. It didn't satisfy me. I couldn't wait to get out of church. Man, I couldn't wait to get out. I never wanted to read the Bible. It was boring to me. See, religion doesn't satisfy. And so he's burdened with a religion that he's been, you know, involved in for years, and it doesn't satisfy him. And he's got these riches, and they don't satisfy. And he's burdened because he doesn't know that he's got eternal life. And he's burdened because he knows he's not right with God. All right? So he comes the right way. But notice something else. He came to the right person. You know, it's great to come to the right person. You know, it's great to go to the right person when you got a need. Amen? You know, if you needed you got a car broken down and you need some help, I wouldn't be the person to come to. Because I don't know much about cars. But, you know, you find a mechanic, you know, he's the right person to go to. Amen? You know, he's the right person. You know? And Jesus is the right person to go to when you got burdens in your life. Oh, is he the right person? Now, why is Jesus the right person to go to? You know why he's the right person to go to? Because of who he is. Now, look at verse 21, if you will. This man thought he was just a good man. Now, this man here, he was the opinion that Jesus was a good man. I suppose that, you know, most people would believe that Jesus is a good man. You know, this is what this man thought, that Jesus was a good man. And he is a good man. He was a good man. There's no doubt about it. Healed the sick and raised the dead and caused those who were lame to walk again. I mean, that's pretty, that's, you know, he used his power to help people. He was a good man. Say, I don't think anybody would disagree. You know, but Mormons believe he's a good man. Many religions believe he's, Jehovah's Witnesses believe he's a good man. You know, I mean, liberal churches believe that Jesus is a good man. But you see, Jesus is more than a good man. He's God. He's God. And you know something? This fella, you know, he had to get that straightened around in his life. Because he would never have the burden lifted believing that Jesus was a good man. You'll never have your burdens lifted, my friend. Just believing that Jesus is a good man. You got to believe he's God. He's God. How do you explain it? I don't know. But it's one of the greatest mysteries of the Bible, what we call the incarnation, what we call Jesus coming to the world as the God-man. and he was born of a virgin, and he didn't have a human father like you and I have. He was the God-man. And so this fella, he needed to get it corrected that Jesus is God. Say, he's more. Jesus says, listen, I'm above being good, man. I'm God. That's what he told him. I'm God. Now, he's either the greatest liar that ever lived and the greatest trickster and huckster that ever lived, or he's telling the truth. Which one are you going to fall under? Where are you going to? You going to believe that he's a big old liar? Or, he's just a man. You'll never have your burdens lifted. You'll end up in hell, never be right with God, never, ever have eternal life. Dear friend, Jesus is God. But notice something else here. Jesus is the right person to go to, to come running and kneeling to come quickly to, not to hesitate coming to him anymore. Come quickly, come running, come submissively to him. Why? Because of who he is, but secondly, because of what, the fact that he loves you. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. The Bible says there, then Jesus, behold him, loved him. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you, even though you don't believe who he is. You don't believe he's God. He loves you. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't love me when I was lovely. He loved me when I was unlovely. Dear friend, I don't care who you are, what you've done. Jesus loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he came to this world, because he loved you. He didn't love his comfort zone in heaven as much as he loved you. He loved you so much, he left all the glories of heaven. Those of us who say when we get to heaven and we see all that Jesus left for us, we are going to be so overwhelmed at what he gave up so that you could be delivered from your burdens, the burden of sin, so you could have that burden lifted. He gave it all up for you. Oh, I'll tell you something. It's going to be amazing. It's just going to be overwhelming when we see all that. And why did he do it? Because he loves you. He loves you. He wants the burden to be lifted. Say, he wants the burden to be lifted. So that's why you ought to come running and kneeling to him, because he loves you. He wants you to come. I found out who my real dad was. I wrote a letter to him, and I didn't know if he'd want me to come see him. I wanted to go see him. And I didn't know if he'd really want to see me or not. And so I wrote a letter and said, I'd like to meet you. And, I got a letter back. And you know what he said? I'd like to meet you too. You know what he's saying? I want you to come. Jesus wants you to come. He invites you to come to him with your burden. Come. He says, come. He didn't care who you are. He didn't say, come if, you knew your real dad. Come if you didn't sin a whole lot, or come because, you're very talented. You got lots of money. Come to me. He says, come. Anybody can come. All that come to me, Jesus said, I'll no wise cast out. All that come to me, I will. He's never going to say, I don't want anything to do with you. I know how you've been living. I know your background. I know your environment. I don't want anything to do with you. He'll never do that. All that come to me, I will no wise cast out. He won't cast you away. Matthew chapter 11, 20 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor, burdened, and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring. You're burdened down with the burdens of life. Come to me. Come to me. So he invites you to come. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come to me. So that's why you ought to come eagerly, running, kneeling, submissive. That's why. This man came the right way, eagerly, and running and kneeling. He came to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. I mean, he's above everybody else. He's more than the Pope. He's more than the priest. He's more than any preacher. He's more than you or me. He's more than the president. He's more than Bill Gates. He's more than any of those people, because he's God. That's why he's God. And you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to stand before him one day. You better come to him. You better know you're right with him. Say, because you're going to stand before him one day. He's alive. He came forth from the dead. He's at the Father's right hand. You're going to look eyeball to eyeball with him one day. You better come to him. Well, you can. You can't do it after you stand before the Lord at the after death. You can't come before kneeling and submissive then. It's too late. Because you come because you've seen him. He wants you to come because you've seen him in the pages of Scripture. You come out of faith in what the Bible says he is, who he is, and what he's done. That's faith, say. And so God is putting human beings to the test. Life is a test. Whether you're going to live by faith or you're going to live just by what you see. It's a test. This whole life is a test of how are you going to live your life, by faith or by what you see and what you hear. Say. So now notice with me, he came also with the right desire. He had the right desire when he came. What did he desire? He says there in verse number 17, when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do? Here's his desire to inherit eternal life. He desired eternal life. That was his desire. He wanted eternal life. That's a pretty good desire, amen? I mean, that's a great desire. You know, who is it, Ponce de Leon, that sailed to find the fountain of youth? Because, you know, he wanted life. He didn't want to die. Well, you know, Jesus can give you that. He can give you eternal life. And you'll never have to die eternally. See, there's two deaths in the Bible. There is what we call eternal death, and then there is, you know, the matter of a physical death. And, you know, those are all the result of sin. There'll be no death physically if it wasn't because of sin. And there'll be no death eternally, you know, if you get your sin taken care of, say. But you die with your sin on you, it'll be eternal death. Jesus can give you eternal life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there's two things, death or life. Which will you choose? You're making a choice. Death or life, which will it be? Eternal death or eternal life? The choice is yours. You make the choice. Say, that's the difference between Muslims and their religion and the Bible, salvation. See, Muslim religion says, you've got to accept Allah or we're going to take your head off. Where's the choice in that? It's coercion. My friend, salvation is a choice. You can choose to have eternal life or you can choose to have eternal death. God has given you a choice. You are a free moral agent. You have a will. You're different than an animal. Animals do not have a will. That's why we're not animals. That's why evolution's all crazy. Because we are created in the image of God. And we have a will. And which will you want? Which will you desire? Now, this man went away without eternal life. That's the sad thing. That's what disappointed Jesus. He came the right way. He came to the right person. But he went away the wrong way. He went away without eternal life. How about you this morning? How will you go out those doors? Will you go out those doors with eternal life or eternal death? I'll tell you what, this man made that decision to go out without eternal life. And you know what? You can make that decision. The Bible says broad is the way. Many people make that decision. Broad is the way that leadeth to everlasting, damnation. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be on that road. Few are on the road that leads to eternal life. Why? Because they are not willing to do what Jesus says to do to have eternal life. Now, I want to show you a number of things that Jesus says here that this man needed to do to have eternal life, and he refused it. He refused it. All right, first of all, if you want to have eternal life, you need to, according to Jesus, believe you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge you're a sinner. Now, this man didn't acknowledge it. He never acknowledged that he was a sinner. He talks about all the good things he's done in his life, all the commandments he has kept. And Jesus, in verses 19 through 20, mentions the commandments here. Look at verse 19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. So he lists these commandments here. Now, why did Jesus quote these commandments? Because, and stop there, because you know why? Nobody has ever kept them all. You may have never committed adultery. You may never have killed. By the way, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, that's committed adultery in the New Testament. He added to the law. If you look upon a woman. So you say, well, Brother Gilmore, I've never even done that. Liar. If you're a man, that is. Of course, I think ladies today are doing a lot of lusting too, you know. But you see, my friend, this fella was all confused as to what the law was all about. He thought the way you get eternal life was keeping the law. And he was trying to keep the law. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, notice if you will what the Bible says. I'll just read it to you. Don't turn there unless you want to. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says this. It says in verse number 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in my sight. That's pretty plain. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law, do you know it? A lot of people don't know it. They think the purpose of the law is that's how we get to heaven. That's how we do good. We keep God's commandment. But you never can keep them all. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:10, cursed is the man who keepeth all law and yet offends in one point. You just break God's law one point. Bible says there's a curse. You're cursed. Say, the law was never given for you to keep it to have eternal life. The law was given that we might see that we're sinners. We can't keep the law. Why can't we? Because we're sinners before a holy God. See, Jesus was trying to bring conviction to this man. He was a religious man, very proud for a religious man. But he needed conviction that he was a sinner. And he didn't believe he was because he was doing all these good things. And you know what? He never did accept he was a sinner. That's why he went away without eternal life. My friend, if you want eternal life, you've got to accept the fact that you are a dirty, rotten sinner before God and on your way to hell. Well, Brother Gilmore, wait a minute. You blew me away. Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. Say, you got to accept you're a sinner. You'll never get to heaven without accepting that. You'll never have eternal life without accepting that. Say, and you know it's true because you've never kept all the law all your life, every day, every moment, every second. You've never done it. No one's ever done it. All right. Secondly, this man went away without eternal life because of the fact Jesus says you have to have a genuine desire to have eternal life, a genuine desire. Now, he had a desire for eternal life, but he didn't have a genuine desire. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. There's one thing. You got a desire for eternal life, but there's one thing you lack here. Notice what he says here. He says, one thing thou lackest. Verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, one thing thou lackest. You see, dear friend, you don't get to heaven because you're close. You're closer to heaven than hell. One thing thou lackest. See, closeness counts in horseshoes. It doesn't count in getting to heaven. There's no points because you are close. One thing thou lackest. What was the one thing he lacked? You know what it was? He lacked a genuine desire to have eternal life. You see, having eternal life, a genuine desire is, first of all, a willingness to repent. Now, we live in a day and age when repentance isn't very much preached anymore. It's just come to Jesus, believe on him, you know, and just go out and keep doing what you've been doing all your life, you know, and no repentance. But the Bible teaches repentance. Jesus did. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. I'm not going to read those scriptures. John the Baptist did in Matthew 3, 2. The disciples did in Mark 6, 12. Paul the Apostle did in Acts 17, 30. Peter did in Acts 3:19 and 2 Peter 2:9. You see, repentance is turning from the way you've been going, turning from, you know, thinking you're good, turning from believing that there's some other way to get to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's turning from that, counting it garbage, and turning to Jesus Christ alone. It's turning from the path of sin you've been walking on and turning to a new path. That's repentance. And he wasn't willing to repent. That's why many people are never going to have eternal life. And it will be you if you're not willing to repent. See, this man wanted eternal life, but he wanted it without repentance. You can't have it. One thing thou lackest, a genuine desire. He did not have a genuine desire because he wasn't willing to repent. You know why? He didn't have a genuine desire because he wasn't accepting of the fact that when he received the Lord Jesus, it was the Lord Jesus. He wanted Jesus to be his Savior from his sins. Well, I don't know if this is true of him because he didn't even believe he was a sinner, but you know, a lot of people, they want Jesus to be their Savior from sin, but they don't want him to be their Lord of their life. And you know what? One thing thou lackest, you see, you don't have a genuine desire for eternal life. Why? Because you just want Jesus your Savior. You don't want him as your Lord. See, Jesus is Lord. Now, maybe you didn't realize that when I got saved, I didn't really realize that Jesus is my Lord. But I'll tell you something. I wanted to live the way he wanted me to live. It was in my heart. You see, if you don't want to live the way Jesus wants you to live, if you just want Jesus to forgive your sin, but you just want to live your own life, do your own thing, go where you want to go, be what you want to be, and have just forgiveness for your sins so you can go to heaven and have eternal life, that is not a genuine desire that will give you eternal life. See, to have eternal life, you need to be willing to repent and you need to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. You need to be willing to do what he wants you to do. That's what making Jesus your Lord is involved in, doing what he wants you to do in the way you live your life. Doing what? Remember Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord and do not the things that I say? See, people say, well, I'm saved, but they don't want to do what Jesus wants to do. They want to get baptized. They don't want to join a church. They don't want to live godly lives. They don't want to do anything. Hey, I'll tell you something, my friend. You may have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you didn't accept him as your Lord. And Jesus is not just Savior. He's Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. The Bible says so clearly that Jesus is the Lord Jesus. When you accept your Savior, you're accepting him as your Lord. You want him to change your life. You see, what happens when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he will change the way you live. There was a father that got saved and his daughter, she was a younger girl, and this father got saved, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he's standing up and he's witnessing to his friends, some of his friends that he used to hang around with. He's telling them about Jesus and, you know, how Jesus saved him, and, you know, all of a sudden one of his friends says, oh, you're just dreaming. You're just dreaming. It's just a pipe dream, you know. You're just on some kick. It'll be over. You're just dreaming. And the little daughter stands up and says, oh, sir, talking to the man, oh, sir, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. Because my daddy used to come home and beat up my mother. My daddy used to come home and, you know, he was mean to me. My daddy used to come home and he'd bring alcohol and booze. And my daddy used to come home and, you know, he never put his arms around me and hugged me and loved me. But boy, what a difference. Since my daddy accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You see, my friend, when Jesus is accepted as Lord and Savior, your life changes. You're not the same man anymore. You're not the same husband anymore. You're not the same wife anymore. You're not the same son or daughter anymore. Jesus is Lord and Savior. And you can't live any way you want to anymore. Because you don't want to. See, religion, got to do this, got to do that. I don't like to. But when you accept Jesus, Lord and Savior, he changes your heart and you start wanting to do. Because he's Lord. He becomes your Lord. You get a new Lord. Before it was yourself. Before your Lord was sin. Before your Lord was the world and the ways of the world. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that changes. So this guy didn't have a genuine desire. That's why he went away without eternal life. He wanted eternal life, but he wanted on his conditions, on his terms. I don't want to repent. I don't want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I just not interested in that. And that's why he went away without eternal life. How about you? Will you go away without eternal life this morning? Oh, you say, preacher, I'd like to have eternal life, but oh, I don't know about this thing of making Jesus my Lord. Well, dear friend, I guess you'll have to go away without eternal life then and go to hell. You'll have to go away choosing eternal death. Say, this man went away. No wonder Jesus is heartbroken. He absolutely was brokenhearted that this man went away without eternal life. It broke his heart. And no wonder he went away worse than he came, because he was sad. He was just grieved the rest of his life. He was filled with grief. I'll tell you what, when you hear the gospel and you walk away, you're never the same anymore. You go into greater darkness. I mean, you have greater grief. You have greater burdens in your life than ever before. Well, somebody should have told me I wouldn't have come. Well, you know, you've come. God wants you to have eternal life. That's how big that desire is in his life. Wish it was that big in your life, that you would desire eternal life. God had such a great desire for you to have eternal life, he gave his only son for you. You think this is a game that God's playing? Think life is just a big game? Fun and football and all those kind of things? You can have fun in life, believe me. I'll tell you what, I've had more fun since I got eternal life than I ever had without it. You know, people think, oh, if I get eternal life, I eat bread and water and peanut butter the rest of my life and never smile again. Trick of the devil. But there's another way this man went away without eternal life, and I must hurry on to conclude here. And that is because he went away without eternal life, and Jesus says to have eternal life, you need to know the hindrances to having it. There are hindrances to having eternal life. See, the devil does not want you to have eternal life. He wants you to have eternal death, because that's what he has. And misery loves company. He's going to hell, and he wants you to go along with him. But you see, there's hindrances. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from having eternal life. Now, what are some of the hindrances? Money can be a hindrance. And we find that this is one of the reasons why this rich man didn't have eternal life, because Jesus said, go sell all that thou hast. Now, Jesus was not saying that what this rich man had to do to have eternal life was to go and sell all that he had. He had lots of stuff, his possessions, his house and everything, and come take up the cross and follow the Lord. He was not saying that's the way to have eternal life. Say, if that were so, then we'd get to heaven by our works. We don't get to heaven by our works. You don't get to have eternal life because you sell all you have and give to the church, or, you know, you come to church every week and every night, and, you know, that's not how you get eternal. That's works, and we're not saved by works. The Bible makes it very plain, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast. So what is Jesus doing here? He's pointing out the darling sin of this man's life. You know what the darling sin of his life was? Money. Jesus knew it. You see, my friend, to have eternal life, a lot of people never have eternal life because there's a darling sin that they want to hold on to. Oh, they're willing to repent of some of their sins. You know, they know some of their sins are really bad. They're willing to repent of them, but there's some sins they really enjoy, and they're not willing to let that darling sin go and say, Lord, I'm repenting of that. I know a young boy came forward in a revival meeting. He said, Brother Gilmore, I came forward. I wanted eternal life, but he said, you know, I, I didn't want to give up some of my sins. I was willing to repent of some of them. He said, I didn't want to repent of some of them, though. And he said, you know, my life never changed. I was still as worldly, lost, and, you know, just totally undesirous of living for God as before. You know why? Because he had some darling sins in his life that he wasn't willing to repent of. See, this man, Jesus tell him right here, he's revealing the darling sin that he has. You know, many, many times people are hindered from having eternal life, not only because of money, but, you know, they're hindered by family. Family can be a hindrance to having eternal life. You know, I remember my brother was sitting on either side of me. As I heard the gospel preached, I wanted eternal life. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I had two brothers sitting beside me. And you know what? Those brothers, Satan was using them to try to talk me out of coming to Christ and having eternal life. He was saying, what would they say if you walk forward? You've got your brothers right there. Satan can use family to keep people from having eternal life. You know, there are other things that Satan can use to keep people or hinder people from having eternal life, and that is he can use friends. Friends. One time there was a lady that was in a revival meeting down in island of Aruba, and you know, she would raise her hand. She wanted to have eternal life, and so, but she'd never come and let us show her how she could have it. And so, the last night of the meeting, my wife went up and said, "Boy, you've been raising your hand, and you've not been willing to come. Let us show you can have, how you can have eternal life." And my wife says, "What's hanging you up?" And she says, "My boyfriend." It was a boyfriend that was keeping her from having eternal life. Friends sometimes. That's the wrong kind of friend, my friend, in your life, to have someone keep you from having eternal life. Sins can keep people from having eternal life. Oh, it's a sad thing that so many people would rather have their sin and go to hell than have eternal life and go to heaven. How about you? But there's one more reason why this man went away without eternal life, and that is because he never made a decision. He didn't actually make the right decision. He made a decision, but not the right one. And you know what? This man made the decision to go away without trusting Jesus Christ for eternal life. See, to have eternal life, my friend, you got to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died at the cross of Calvary. That's the only way you're going to have eternal life. There's got to be a time and a place where you put your trust totally and completely in Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. That is the decision you have to make to have eternal life. You personally, your mom can't make that decision for you. Your husband can't make that decision for you. Preacher can't. I can't make it. Nobody can make that. It's a decision you must make. Years ago, there was a preacher telling this story. He was in a church preaching. He said, you know, he said, it's been a long time since I've been in this church. He said, I remember way back. He said, there was a preacher preaching in this church, and my two friends and I decided to come, and we were going to interrupt the service. We brought some stones, and we're going to throw the stones at the preacher and just cause all kinds of commotion. And he said, you know, he said, the guy got up to preach, and the first guy said, well, let's heave the stones now. And the second guy said, no, let's wait. Let's hear him out a little bit. Let's just hear him out a little bit. And so, you know, they stayed there and they heard the preacher preach. And then the third guy finally said, okay, it's time to do it. We got to do it. If we're going to do it, we got to do it now. And you know what? The third guy spoke up and said, no, let's hear him out. Let's hear out what else he has to say. And you know, he said, this fellow telling the story to this church, he said, you know, two of those boys, and I was one of them, I was one of the three, two of those boys decided not to trust Jesus to be their Savior and have eternal life. They died tragically. They died tragically. He said, I was the one that said, no, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ because I want eternal life. And he said, that's me, and that's why I'm standing here. I made the decision to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And he said, I'm going to live eternally rather than die eternally. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. I pray that you'll bless the invitation time. Lord, you have brought these people here because you want them to have eternal life. And Lord, I pray that they won't go away the wrong way as this man did. He went away the wrong way and went to hell. And for all eternity, he'll be there regretting the opportunity he had to receive eternal life and to turn to Jesus, and he turned it down. Father, I pray there won't be anybody like that this morning. I pray that folks that don't know they have eternal life, that they'll come. I pray that those who are burdened with burdens would come to Jesus. He's the burden lifter. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name.